You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, as we continue the thought of the renovation of the mind, renovating the mind, last week we exposed you to the two scriptural descriptions of minds. There's the carnal mind, which seeks after pleasure and things of the flesh, selfish gain. And then there's the spiritual mind, which seeks to embrace the things of God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle tells us to basically govern ourselves mentally. He says to put on the helmet of salvation, which is designed to protect the mind. Now, there is a difference between the mind and the brain. The brain is the motor that runs the engine called your body. Through a series of nerves extending through the body, the brain tells the body what to do. When there is a breakdown between the message coming from the brain to the body, then the body becomes impotent or weak because something has intercepted the message coming from the brain. Now, the mind is different. The mind is affected and influenced by external things. The brain is not influenced by external things. The brain will do what God formed it to do. But the mind is wide open and highly susceptible to culture and personal influences from others. When the mind suggests something through desires, working in concert with the soul, then the mind says to you, you need this. If the mind is not renovated, if you're a Christian, then your mind will consistently seek after those things that are fleshly and contrary to the nature and the law of God. And so Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, he says, we must undergo the metamorphosis of the mind by the renewing of the mind. The mind needs to be changed. So the mind is not saved. The soul is saved. But the mind can go off into areas of life that are dishonorable to God, that have nothing to do with your salvational status. You can delve into carnality 5 minutes after you spoke in tongues. Here's an example. You can stand in service and the praise team has just lifted us to rapturous heights of spiritual significance and then sit next to somebody who step on your toe. And all that spirit worship that you just had gives in to the temporary discomfort of you having your toe assaulted. You can walk out of church after experiencing the move of God and run into an idiot outside of church. And then they do something that offends you, that makes you respond with language that would make a sailor blush. Now, the Bible says that a fountain cannot send forth both bitter and sweet waters. What does that mean? It means that as a Christian, you cannot consistently have wicked thoughts. It doesn't mean that there isn't a satanic interjection that must be removed. According to Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians, that we cast down those thoughts that exalt themselves against our knowledge of God. In other words, because I know God does not want me to live this way, anytime Satan comes with something contrary, I cast it down. The Holy Spirit will not cast it down. Listen carefully. He is not responsible for control of your thoughts. He will give you things that are godly. Jesus says in John's gospel, he will tell you what to say. That's why Jesus said, don't think about how you should answer your critics. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. But what Jesus does not say is that the Holy Spirit will say it for you. Which means he will tell your mind what to say, but then you must decide to say it. The decision to carry out what your mind suggests is solely ours. Hence, we have the misappropriation of the information of free will. I don't believe we have free will. I believe we have freedom of choice. And then our will becomes subjected to our choice. And so it's more important that you exercise proper choices. So Paul tells us here, on the heels of the instruction in Romans to have the mind renovated, he tells us here in Ephesians to put on the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? That means that after you've gone through the task of renovating the mind, learning to think like God, you now have to protect it. The helmet is designed to protect it because the helmet is not guarding you from what comes out of the mind. The helmet is guarding what comes in. So what is he saying? By metaphor, he's saying when you put that helmet on, it's designed to keep Satan's thoughts from becoming yours. You with me? Now, you also, if you read these three passages that I've given you, 16, 17, and 18, he says, take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So let's put those two pieces of evidence together. I take the shield of faith so that I can come against the fiery darts. What are the darts going to come against? My faith. What is faith? Mental. Faith is mental. Therefore, it's the mind. So where is Satan throwing the fiery darts? Against your mind. Faith is not spiritual. It is the mental consent of the truth of the Word of God that brings about belief. Faith is a house that's built by instruction from the Word of God. Belief is a room in the house. And once you have the faith, because faith comes by hearing, but belief doesn't come by hearing. Belief comes by mental consent. I believe what God says. I believe it. Why? Because so much of the word has come to me that I believe it. They that come to God must believe. Mental consent. There's no more doubt in my mind. There's no more challenge in my thought process. God is. And so he says, I put on the helmet after I get the faith, the shield of faith. And the shield that Paul addresses here, many people say that when Paul wrote this, he was making reference to a Roman soldier who was guarding him. The problem with this particular passage in that mindset is that the shield that the soldier that was guarding him carried was about 24 to 26 inches in circumference, and it was used for personal battle. But the shield that Paul makes reference to, some think, is that the Legionnaire shield. If you ever watched old Roman movies and you would see the legions would go out to battle, their shield was different than the shield of the gladiator, we would say. Their shield was almost as tall as they were, and it was called a siege shield. And in the course of a battle, when the enemy was shooting arrows at these soldiers, they would call for something, and the Italian word that they would use in our English, it's called tortoise. And that meant they would all come together, the people in the front would lift the shields, and the people in the middle would raise their shields to the top so that they were completely enclosed by a shield. And their shields were made of wood that was covered with leather. So that when the fire hit it, there was a strong possibility that the flame would never reach the soldier because the shield was strong enough to withhold the flame. So Paul says that you and I must carry that siege shield so that whatever the devil throws at us, our shield is so effective that it can't get through to our mind. Hence, we have 2 Corinthians where he said, cast down every thought that exalts itself against your knowledge of God. Your shield is so formidable that when the enemy throws his darts against it, you say, devil, I'm not believing that. I know if God brought me this far, he's going to take me the rest of the way. And what you determine to be my demise, God is going to use for my exaltation. Oh, bless the Lord. This is so what needs to happen? My mind needs to be renovated. It needs to be renovated. Now, you heard me talk about this before, but it bears repeating. I like to use life applicable things in order to bring validity to what the scriptures are teaching. Now, you heard me talk about it. Brother Kevin and I renovated the men's bathroom down at 2901. Now, the women's bathroom had been done as well. And the contractor came, and he just put his tile over the existing tile. He just covered it up. That's all. He covered it up with some new type of stuff that's really dark and ominous, and it looks like, you know, it's just different. It don't look like ours. And so he just came and covered it. And when he covered it, he left the edge as a trip hazard because we had two layers of tile. And so we instructed, I think it was Brother Kevin had to go out and get some three-quarter, really it was like inch and a half around, and put there to eliminate the trip hazard. Now, why did that happen? Because he just went over what was already there. But when Kevin and I were doing the men's room, he had this chip hammer, and he took up all the old stuff, took it all off the wall, took it up off the floor down to the original cement, and then patched in the holes of the cement so we could have a flat floor. And so when we put the floor down, we didn't have a trip hazard. We could put the same kind of marble threshold because it had been renovated. We didn't add to what was there. We tore up what was there. Are you hearing me? When you come to Christ, you can't just add Christ to everything else. You've got to rip out. Paul says you've got to take off the old man or else you're going to have a trip hazard when you add Christ to what's already. Lord. You can't keep Jesus and keep those old habits. You can't keep Jesus and keep those old relationships. You got to go in and tear them all up. You got to get rid of some people, get rid of some habits, get rid of some behaviors so it's stripped all the way down to the bare cement so that God could just patch it up and put new tile down on the floor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so that's what the shield does. The shield enables you to honor the replacement that the Holy Spirit has effected in our lives. He has ripped up everything that was old. And you've got to expect that. You cannot be a Christian and people treat you the same way. Listen. You go through your closets. Every now and then you go through the closet and you get rid of stuff that's either out of season, out of size, or just doesn't, fit right anymore. And usually, you know, you bag it up and you take it to these places that take clothes that people who don't have connect. But nobody in here should have stuff from elementary school. I mean, I can't go through my closet and find a pair of khakis I wore at Pratt Arnold. That doesn't happen. Those things are replaced by what? They're replaced by newer styles. They're replaced by things that fit the culture and the time that I live in. And so that's what it is with God. When you came to God, we were tore up from the floor. And the biggest deficit, the most important rehabilitation that he needed was your mind. The enemy had you thinking you were a loser because someone of significance told you that you would never amount to anything. You need to put on the helmet of salvation and don't let that thorn get in your mind. Because life is the reflection of thought. Words are mental thoughts with clothes on them. That's why Jesus said, you will have what you say. And I add this context, provided your thoughts are right, God can honor what you say. Now, the other side of that coin is if you speak negatively, you're going to get negative things. Why? Because words are the things that energize the spirit realm. When you speak negatively, you work with the devil. When you speak positively, you work with God. Either way, you're having what you say. So he tells us here, take the shield of faith, then put on the helmet. And notice what the results are. Verse 18, prayer and supplication, watching, perseverance. Notice he says there will be a change in your prayer life and in your supplication if your minds are right. We don't pray mentally, we pray fleshly. We pray based on what our bodies need. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me this. Why? Because in my mind, my body needs this. I don't want to be alone. I'm so tired of being alone. Won't you help me, girl, get as soon as you can. So the helmet covers the mind, or covers the head, rather, and it allows the brain to do what it should do without any injury. The brain is an important part. It is the CEO of your head. It's the main part of your head, and it governs everything else. But that's not influenced by the devil. Because even if you're demonic, you're still going to speak, because your speech originates in an area of your brain. Even if you're satanic and your eyes are fine, you're still going to see, because there's a place in your brain where sight originates. So he doesn't mess with your brain unless it's sickness. But your mind can be influenced by associating with people who have negative input into your mind. Then, once the devil has that settled in you, he begins to cause you to feel sorry for yourself. Nobody likes me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm on my own. Well, that's what you wanted when you were a child. I don't want nobody tell me what to do. I can take care of myself. Now you're 72. Nobody want to take care of me. Well, that's what you spoke. Jesus said you'll have what you say. How do we get this mind replaced? Paul writes in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice, carnal mind results in death, the spiritual mind results in life and peace. Life and peace. Life and peace. Where does peace come from? The mind. Now today, brothers and sisters, we need peace in our minds more than ever, because there are idiots running Washington. Now, in my world, and this is just my radical revolutionary view, you know, it's time to throw them all out and put some housewives in charge. Listen, housewives have been holding houses together with chicken and egg money. We weren't rich, but I never missed a meal. We were not rich, but I always had clothes. Now, I don't know how they did it, but those women kept those houses going. Our government is in trouble. We need life and peace. There has to be a major shift in control of each of us. We have put our faith in Republicans and in Democrats and in political parties, and none of them have any sense. And one thing I've learned in my studies, that it is irrational to expect rational behavior from irrational people. And they expect us to every 2 to 4 years or 6 years put the same people. I say we throw everybody out and start fresh. Somebody said, well, what are you going to do? The problems are so great, we need people with experience. No, they'll learn. They didn't have experience when we started this nation. They were silversmiths and horsemen and farmers, and they did pretty good writing the Constitution. So why are you saying this? What's that got to do with your sermon? Because our minds are so in tune with the needs in our country that we don't have peace. We don't have peace. We literally worry about nuclear conflagration. We worry that we're going to lose our jobs. We worry that the doctor won't be able to cure us. We worry. Why? Because our minds are just continuously exposed to anxiety from the satanic realm. And we need to strip that off and start confessing the word of God until the situation, even though the situation won't change physically immediately, it should change in our mind.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Renovation of the Mind, or the program number 01419A. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Shellingham Avenue in Wincode, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.